Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. This is what Jesus said according to Luke. When I first read this earlier this week, I immediately thought, wait, what? This does not sound like the same person who responded when asked by the rich young man, what is the greatest commandment? With, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. My mind then raced to the raucous Monty Python parody, The Life of Brian, where Brian is addressing a large crowd and some of the folks are having a hard time hearing what he is saying. One man asks a neighbor, what did he say? And he's told, he said, blessed are the cheesemakers. Then the man asks, what's so special about cheesemakers? And is told that Brian did not mean this literally, but this is to include all makers of dairy products. Maybe we just heard Jesus wrong. Generally, when a passage of Scripture doesn't fit for me or isn't clear or doesn't seem in sync, I go to as many commentaries and sermon help sites as I can to unearth what those much more scholarly than I reveal about the passage. This week, the sermons online all seem to focus on Philemon, the epistle reading. And who can blame them? It's rare that we have a whole book from the Bible or very close to it in one Sunday reading. And there are treasures to be mined from Paul's letter to his friend and colleague. Commentaries, too, were mostly silent or very vague about this troublesome passage found in Luke's telling of the Jesus story. The commentators were quick to note that the word hate in Jesus' day did not have the emotional punch that it does for us today. And I'm sure that is true. That this is really about an ordering of priorities. But we still need to wrestle with what we have and struggle with what this harsh requirement means for those who want to follow Jesus. When we hear passages like these, it should come as no surprise to us that Christianity is losing ground in the world. These are harsh words and could be misused to divide rather than to bring folks together. We must remember that Jesus' message time and again is a message of love to the point of laying down his life for the life of the world. No wonder folks are confused when confronted with Christianity. If we take snippets from here and pieces from there and put them together without having the context of the whole, then we've sewn together a quilt of confusion or an odd patchwork held together by our own ideology used to support our own agenda. We must not do that. We must always look at the whole of who Jesus is and what his message is. And in looking at that, we must not ignore or overlook or sugarcoat passages like these, even if they make us really uncomfortable. Jesus is in front of a large crowd, teaching them and trying to prepare them for what lies ahead, his death. He's giving his followers a real example of the cost for him and for them as well. And this is one of those themes that is recurrent. If you want to be my followers, my disciples, it will be at great cost. You cannot follow me and stay the same. Your priorities must change. Nothing must come before following me. We don't want to hear this any more than the crowd did that day. The first 12, on some level, did seem to understand that, though. They literally dropped nets, oars, tax booths, and fields and followed this itinerant teacher who did not even have a home base, much less satellite offices. The landscape of the day was unpredictable. The folks in the crowd were living under the often oppressive rule of the Roman government. They were not a free nation. As long as the Romans were happy, everyone was happy. But Jesus. The Jewish leaders did everything they could to keep the Romans happy and keep their positions. If the Romans became suspicious of the loyalty of the Jews, then they would not allow them to continue to worship. They would make the worship of the one true Jewish God illegal and insist that they worship the pantheon of gods of Rome, including the emperor himself. So the scribes and the Pharisees and the other leaders did everything they could do to keep the eyes of the empire off them. They held more and more tightly to their rules and tried to do what they could to accommodate the Romans. Jesus, on the other hand, didn't much care about keeping out of the way of the Romans. He did, on the other hand, care very much that the attention of the people stay focused on God, on loving God and living like those who love God. Jesus, in keeping with the commandments from the beginning, reminded that nothing should come before God, nothing. Jesus never leads his followers astray. He does not take us down a primrose path. If we pay close attention to Jesus, we will find there are no surprises, with the exception of the always present, always surprising grace and love of God. Jesus says his harsh words to the crowd and then puts them in the context of a parable about readiness. If you're going to build a tower, you don't just start building it without first making sure that you have all the materials you need. And if a king is going to wage war, he first makes sure that he has enough troops. You're prepared before building and prepared before waging war. I want you to be prepared as well to be my followers. These are not words of gloom and doom, but are words urging preparedness. Have you ever been to a doctor and been told, this is only going to hurt a little bit, only to discover that it was incredibly painful? The doctor was either out of touch or just trying to keep you from worrying and flinching. From start to finish, Jesus does not do that with his followers. He is totally upfront and honest. He knows that following him will cause division, that if you truly follow him, you will not look wise in the eyes of the world. Loving everybody looks downright crazy. Not caring about position or status, not striving for material wealth and social standing, but hanging out with schizophrenics and homeless folks will make your neighbors question your sanity. Standing up against injustice and speaking in favor of justice will not make you hugely popular in many circles, maybe even your family. Our reading ends with Jesus saying, "So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." Oh no! There he goes again. Talking about getting rid of all our stuff. But it's more than that. We certainly, most of us, could probably scale down on our stuff. But the heart of what Jesus is speaking against is not that which we possess, but that which possesses us. In Matthew, Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus wants our treasure to be with him, our heart to be with him, our life to be with him, in the place where there is great value for all, great love for all, and great grace for all who dare to follow. Amen.